Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be the Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville, at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. If you're not already a subscriber to the series, hit that subscribe button. You can do it on any device that you do podcasts on. You can subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and on and on and on. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is legendary singer-songwriter Delbert McClinton. He's got a brand new record called Tall, Dark, and Handsome, and it is another fantastic record in a superb catalog. When you go back through and remember all the songs that this fella has done, like 1979's Giving It Up For Your Love. He was on the harmonica player on 1963's Hey Baby. Of course, legend has it that he taught John Lennon some harmonica licks while the Beatles were opening up for that tour in 63. He gave Emmylou Harris a hit with Two More Bottles of Wine, had his own hit with a cover of John Hyatt's Have a Little Faith in Me in the early 90s, and ended up with his own hit right after that with Every Time I Roll the Dice. And that's just a tiny bit of his story. We'll get into Tall, Dark, and Handsome and how it covers everything from Texas blues and New Orleans jazz and everything in between. It's a family affair as he's got a daughter singing on one of the tracks and another song that he shared with his son. His son had originally recorded it, and now Delbert's taking it back for his own. And that track's called Mexico. And with a track like Mexico, Delbert's got a house in Mexico, and it offers us a little bit of chance to talk about the the bigger picture of what's happening in the world. We'll also hear how hard it is to make it in Nashville, but that it's a lot more fun when you're working with your friends. And that pretty much sums up Delbert McClinton's mantra right there. Talking about the record Tall, Dark, and Handsome, it's Kyle Meredith with Delbert McClinton.
Hey, Kyle, how you doing, bud?
I'm great. How are you, sir?
As far as I can tell, I'm doing okay.
It's always a good answer right there. Tall, Dark, and Handsome, this new, fine new record. I'm assuming this is talking about yourself in that title.
Well, what difference does it make? Who cares? I'll tell you what, try to name a band. Try to name anything. There's probably somebody already got a cap on it.
It's probably true.
I'm not kidding you, man. You try to find a try to name a record. Try to give it something that people will remember.
Yeah,
Tall, Dark, and Handsome. You're not gonna forget that.
It's true.
It sings Tall, Dark, and Handsome. And I got a black trumpet player and a guitar player that's about 8 feet tall, and I'm handsome. So, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Man, I'm really happy I asked that question after all. You know, I thought that was going to be a throwaway question right there to warm us into it, but I'm happy with that one. There was something in the press release that I thought I'd ask about, too, because in the press release it says, you know, this record's a kind of a celebration of Texas blues. I didn't know if that was just something to spin or if you actually went into the record with that in mind.
Well, that's bullshit.
That's what I thought.
You know, that's somebody listening to it and then telling you what it's about. Think for yourself, or you're letting somebody think for you. I came from Texas. It's got a lot of that influence in it. But we stretched out and did some amazing things, I think, on this record. We hunkered down, me and I've been writing with three of the guys in my band, four of the guys, for the last, 3 years. Mm-hmm. And we're coming up with some really fun, unique stuff that I don't think any of us knew was there until we sat down and started writing together. But it's kind of real close to magic, because Bob Brett, who plays guitar in the band, it's not my band, it's our band. Bob is he just starts playing, and I start singing. He starts playing something, you know. He's a very creative guy, so it's a pretty good gig, man. You know.
Well, there is, of course, lots more than the Texas blues on here. I mean, there's some New Orleans-style jazz that kind of weaves in and out throughout it. That probably goes all the way back for you, too, because the proximity of New Orleans and Texas, I mean, they're knocking on each other's door.
Well, and Mexico, you know, they're all kind of right there together. So, you know, I've got influences from all of that. And influences, hell, I'm 78 years old. I've got some of my major influences are from the music of the 40s. Yeah. All the stuff I heard as a kid growing up, it was the most devastating time in world history as far as the war in Europe and Japan. But the music was so uplifting. It still is. I listen to Sirius 40s Junction. That's just about it. And just so you know, uh-huh, I've had all of these thrashing guitar players I ever want to hear. If I never have to listen to any more guitar masturbation, it'll be too soon.
Well, it's interesting. I was recently doing an interview with Nick Lowe, and we were sort of talking about that same thing, about how the importance of acoustic instruments and you know, using quiet to be loud.
And arrangements, okay, where everybody's playing their part and not stomping all over somebody else's. Everybody gets to be a part, you know? Instead of one, two, three, four, bang, 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 ring. I don't know. I just got a thing about thrashing guitar players. I've had it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I defend everybody's right to make music, you know? And just because it irritates me, I'm from a different time, and so that's not unusual. But music has turned to shit. It's taken about 25 or 30 years for it. But in the last 10 or 12 years, it's gone to hell in a jet. So much of it has got nothing whatsoever to do with anything other than a beat. I don't know. I don't want to sit here and complain. Let's talk about me.
Let's talk about you. Well, let me compliment some of these songs on here. You know, you so far, you know, there are four singles out there, and I'm in love with every one of them for a different reason, too. You know, we were talking about that jazz influence, and you really hear that on Fool Like Me. And that's your daughter singing backup, right?
Yeah.
That's got to be convenient and handy when you got the kids that are at the ready.
Well, she's really good. She doesn't have the bug to go sing, but I'm telling you what, it's eerie. She knows. I turned her on to Hank Williams when she was a baby, because I think it's one of the most important musical people ever. Not just him, but Ray Charles and people who are timeless, and she knows every nuance to every Hank Williams song. She can sing along with the steel guitar solo note for note. She knows every one of my songs note for note. But she knows the solos note for note. And she's not outward about it. You just got to be around her, you know, and it freaks me out. she knows every little nuance in every vocal that I do.
Wow.
And when I'm recording, she's the best sounding board I got, because she'll say, "Dad, you know that ain't right. You're better. You can do that better." And the demo was better, Dad. You know, and I trust her ear because she's right. Anyway, let's talk about some more songs.
So Let's Get Down Like We Used To is probably one of my favorite songs, not just on the record, but of this year so far. That line, you know, "Let's get down like we used to." Who pitched that idea? Where did that come from?
That came from Pat McLaughlin. He and I and Big Al Anderson got together. First time we'd ever got together to write as a group. He had that line. He had hop up on this couch and bring that Smirnoff. And the rhythm thing. He's probably the best rhythm guitar player in the world. So he started that out, and he said, "Hop up on this couch." And immediately I said, "Come on, scooch on over next to me." But that's what happens when you do things like that with people that you have such admiration for. Because there is no bullshit, you know. And if there is bullshit, somebody will say, "No, fuck, we can make it better than that." You know, that's... So it's a wonderful world. It's a place for genuine common ground.
What's interesting that you say that, you know, because I was going to bring up, you got the song Mexico. You have a house in Mexico, and when you're talking about common ground, I thought you've probably got, you know, a viewpoint on what's going on out there. Well, with Mexico and the U.S., because you have a house in Mexico, right?
You know, I feel safer in Mexico than I do here. I hate it, but... the anger in this. Let's don't go off on that. I love Mexico. When I was a kid, I've always had a fascination with Mexico. And when I was in high school, my plan was graduate, get a job, buy a Jeep, and go to Mexico and be an archaeologist. Well, that didn't happen. And 14 years ago, it did. So I love it in Mexico. I love the history. Not just of Mexico, but South America. I hate all the horror that's going on, but it's going on all over the world. Once again, I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about me again.
Well, let's talk about that song, actually, with Mexico, because it's got that. What is that sound? Is that a type of genre that you would call that music that you've used as the backing music in the song?
I don't know. But I'll tell you about that song. Uh-huh. I wrote that song a long time ago. In fact, my son, my youngest son, recorded it on a record about 5 or 6 years ago. And I'd never recorded it. And when we came to do this record, you know, we did it. But what made that song is the amazing horn arrangement. Mm-hmm. And the guy who did that is Jim Hoke. He's a freak. He is so incredibly talented. It's scary. That's him and Dana Robbins, who plays with me, and that's four tenor saxophones. And that song starts out, and you got to get up and do something, you know?
Yeah.
Before the horns were on it, it was a shell of what it turned into. But they all are, you know, they go through stages. But I had no idea what to expect, except that whatever he... parts he did for it would be amazing, and they are.
And they are.
And they always have been. He's a true freak of nature, man. He can play anything, and better than most people. And he's the most unpretentious guy in the world. I've never seen him overly excited, but he's wonderful.
You mentioned that you'd written it, but your son had recorded first. How many songs do you have in that vein? Do you have like a trove of songs that you've written and are just waiting to be recorded by you?
Oh, no, not a trove. But the good thing is they just keep coming, you know. But they keep coming because I am a part of a unit of people who I admire more than anybody in the world. And we all feel that way. So it's a wonderful work environment. You go to Mexico and hang out for about 10 days, eat a lot of good food, and hang out on the veranda and write songs with the people you have the most admiration for.
That sounds like heaven.
It's hard to beat.
Yeah, it sounds great. Well, again, I mean, I feel like I could go through that entire record, you know, and just picking out those songs. And of course, If I Hock My Guitar came out as a first single, and that one's so fun. you know, and just a sing-along thing. I'm guessing it's been quite a long time now since you've had to consider hawking your guitar for a...
Oh, it is. That kind of came from out of nowhere. A few years back, three years ago now, I believe, Bob Britt, guy that plays guitar in the band, and Dana Robbins, she's the sax player. They both got cancer, but they both beat it, and they're cancer-free.
Which is great.
But when Bob was going in for his first chemo dressing, I said, it just came from nowhere. I said, all right, here's a song we need to write. Think about it. If I hock my guitar, how the hell am I supposed to play the blues? So when we got to Mexico, we wrote it.
Yeah. It's a hell of a line. It's a great line.
Well, there's a lot of great lines in that. The line I like, see, this is what I'm talking about writing with people that you admire. I say, I came up from Mississippi with a guitar full of songs. Oh, and then Bob said, thought I was really something, but maybe I was wrong. And I just loved it. I think it's, if you spend any time in this town, you see all of these people with high hopes and cardboard guitar cases, and I say it was shortly after I moved here some 20-something years ago. I was riding out I-65 on a Sunday morning. I don't know where I was going, what I was doing, but it was Sunday morning, and there was a guy leaning on the guardrail with his guitar propped against it, cardboard guitar case, and he was throwing his guts up, and he was hitchhiking out of Nashville. So, a lot of people come here and have to readjust their dreams at some point.
Yeah.
But it's funny, and it's true, It's
highest compliments on the entire record. The musical conversations that you're having with your friends, whether it's, it feels like sometimes as you're telling these stories, somebody throws a line out and the game is to try to say something even funnier and more poignant on that. And it just makes for great songs.
Well, that's exactly what we try to do. I'm the world's biggest lyric freak. If I don't get it like I want it, it's not any good. And it's just like live shows. If I have a bad night, I don't care if the band was the best they ever sounded. If I have a bad night, the night sucked. I feel that I'm definitely my own worst critic, but I think that I've used it, or it's used me, whichever one, to write good songs, mm-hmm. intelligent songs, rock and roll for adults.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fan, and I have been for a long time, and this record is another great one in your canon with Tall, Dark, and Handsome. And by the way, congratulations. I also saw that video of you getting a star in Austin. You got a star on the street, on the Avenue of
Stars. I got a star in front of the Paramount Theater. It's wonderful. Don't misunderstand me, but I get so awkward at being, what's the word, revered. I'm such a fish out of water. I don't know how to react. I'm awkward. I can't wait to get the fuck out, Even though there is, people are saying really nice things about it's like, oh, shucks, thanks, You know what I mean?
I do.
I'm not a fan of the hoopla at all. I can't stand the hoopla. It's self-serving shit. Award shows and stuff, I remember when I first moved to Nashville, talking to somebody, one of my friends, and he said, well, here in Nashville, said, you get three people together and two of them will give one of them an award. And I swear to God, it's true. It's true.
That's funny. Well, it's warranted when it comes to you, though. I mean, the compliments, they're warranted.
Well,
you've done some great music.
That's not the point, though.
Right.
The point is my ineptitude at being gracious without feeling like a bump on the wall.
Well, I won't compliment you anymore then for this one, but
okay.
Now I'm going to break that
down. You can do it on the phone. I just can't do it with a bunch of people looking at me.
No, I understand. Delbert, I love this new record. I love all your music. Thank you so much for the new one, and thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today about it.
Hey, man, my pleasure. Maybe this will be my big breakout.
Maybe it'll be your big breakout. We'll see.
I'm still trying to make it, baby.
All right, dude. Thank you so much.
All right, bro.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Mr. Delbert McClinton, the new record is called Tall, Dark, and Handsome. Hey, don't forget, before you get out of here, subscribe to the series. You've made it this far. Stay along with us. Multiple interviews released every single week. So hit the subscribe button. Again, iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube or anywhere you get your favorite podcast from. And while you're there, go ahead and give the series a rating and leave a review or just say hi or it's something you enjoyed about the artist or the interview. And after that, head to WFPK.org, where I do a show every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. I play brand new songs, anniversary spins for older cuts, and clips from these interviews as well. ConsequenceOfSound.net, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter at Kyle Meredith and Facebook /Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. Kyle Meredith, I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.